Boy, I am so glad you're here today. Are you glad you're here today? Because I got something to talk about today. I'm really excited about it. First service was phenomenal. And they really, I feed off of feedback, okay? And so if you feel free to say, let it go, that's true. Oh, God, just feel free to do that kind of stuff. But I want to start off with a joke. All of us have the ideas at the beginning of the year, what we're going to do with our lives. We're going to join all the gyms to pack full. You can ride by Dorchester tomorrow morning. I'm looking forward to it coming to work because there won't be a parking spot there. All the treadmills will be busy. Everybody will be in there. You'll be walking in like this trying to get to different machines. They are just so excited about starting a brand new fresh year all over again. Now, one son asked his father what his New Year's resolution was, and his father said he was going to do everything possible in the new year to make his mother very happy. I think that's a good idea, don't you? I think that's a good idea, don't you?
Yes.
Okay. And then the son asked his mother, said, Mom, what is your new resolution going to be this year? She said, I'm going to do everything possible to make your father keep his resolution. So today, let's laugh again. I want a bigger laugh than that. It's not all that bad. It's going to be fun today. I'm going to be coming out of 1 Timothy 4 and 8. For it says this, for bodily exercise profiteth little. It profits, but it profit little. Okay? But godliness is profitable unto all things. Now let's just face it. We're just one day. In fact, we are just probably 11 hours into 2017, and somebody's in here already flunked their test. Somebody's in here that's had all that momentum going, and what they were going to do, they were not going to eat any sweets in 2017, or they wouldn't go do this and do that, and they've already messed up already. Hadn't even been in here 10 hours yet, and they already screwed up. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
We're going to have fun today. Amen? All right. And so I like stats. So I looked up a couple of stats to throw in at y'all today just to have fun. A little more than 50% of Americans make New Year resolutions. 50% of Americans make New Year resolutions. But listen to this. But only 8%. Let me hear you say 8%.
8%.
But only 8% of those who do succeed in meeting their goals. 50%, only 8 make it. What part are you in today, 50 or the 8? You're the 8, that's what I thought. Listen to this. The weight loss industry. Now, I want you to take a look around right now. Just look around. You are the weight loss industry. Listen to this. The weight loss industry is valued around $60 billion. The weight loss industry is really banking on you to sign up at the beginning of the year. They again want that return of $60 billion. Take a look around and see who the weight loss industry is. That's y'all. That's talking about y'all. Okay? $60 billion. When asked to put a dollar amount on how much they would pay, people went around asking people what they would pay, and they'd pay to magically lose more weight. 65% said they would fork over $250. It's pretty, a lot of people say, hey, that's no big deal. I'll fork over $250 to lose weight. On the other hand, 12% were willing to spend at least $1,000. 12% of you willing to spend $1,000? Wow. Now listen to this. 1% were willing to spend more than $10,000 to lose weight. Raise your hand, and I'll sign you up. Raise your hand if you would spend $10,000 to lose weight today. I've got a plan for you. But first, I need a check or either cash. Okay, I'll take you up on that. All right, sounds great. That sounds great. But what's the why behind all this? Why do people do that? Why do people would be willing to spend 10 grand to lose 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds. What is the big why? A lot of us have bought. A lot of us have bought the assumption. Listen to me. Changing the outer appearance will eventually change the inside of me. Do we believe this? People actually believe or have that false assumption that if I work hard on the outside, then eventually I will become a different person on the inside. That is the biggest lie anybody has ever told a human being. You do not change the inside by working on the outside. Amen?
Amen.
Now, here's the definition of insanity. I know a lot of you know it. Here's the definition of insanity. Doing the same things over and over again and expecting different results. How many of you are insane in here today? That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm thinking. Listen, as I was getting ready for this, talking about this, and I'm really excited. I'm just kind of knocking around right now. But God said, all you do, he says, you could take this book, John Maxwell book, and you could take the cover off that bad boy and put another cover on it. And guess what? The contents on the inside are still the same. So what we're after, what we've bought into, is that assumption that if I just take off the cover or the outside person, the inside will change, but it won't happen. Shifting the cover. You could put on, I'm going to get a brand new home, but the insides are still the same. I'm going to buy a new car, but your insides are still the same. I'm going to get a new hairdo, but the inside's still the same. Well, I'm going to buy some new clothes, but the inside's still the same. There's nothing. Let me hear you say nothing.
Nothing.
I want to hear you say nothing.
Nothing.
There's nothing that you and I can do on the inside, on the outside, that can change the inside. Nothing we could do on the outside to change the inside. Amen?
Amen.
Give yourself a hand. I like your agreement. Come on. I hope that we're not a group of people in our church that would be so superstitious to think that if we go buy a brand new calendar, everything will be new. You know what? I mean, we go to all kind of deals to try to get that inside man done, but trying to do it from the outside will never work. But let me tell you what the will of the Lord for you is in 2017. You could take this and put it in the bank. Every single one of you that's sitting here today, I'm going to tell you what God wants for you in 2017. Y'all don't want that?
Yes.
Well, come on, say, come on, Pastor B, tell me. All right. I'm going to tell you. 3 John chapter 2, it says, Beloved, look at the person beside you and say, I am the Beloved. All right, it says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
That thou may prosper, be in health, even as thy soul prospers. That's God's will for you in 2017. God wants you to prosper. God wants you to be in health. God wants you to be emotionally strong in 2017. I personally believe in 2017, the windows of heaven are going to start opening up and the blessings that you believe God for, come on. The tithing you've been tithing, the giving, the serving, the blessings you've been standing and believing God for, I'm telling you, have anybody ever heard a slot machine go off and the money coming out of it going everywhere? I believe that 2017, you're going to hear that thing crank up. Amen? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. The Lord understands and has been seeing what the enemy's been trying to do. You think the enemy catches God by surprise? All the enemy is to him is just a little thump. I said, all the enemy is to God is just a little thump. I said, all the enemy is to God is just a little thump. Yeah. All right, that's all I'm trying to say. And so he'd been aware of what you've been going through, and he'd been aware of what I've been going through. We've been on our face believing God, thanking him for a return. We've been on our face praying and interceding and helping people and all that. This, listen to me, listen to the sound of my voice. 2017 is going to be the year that you get the return on your faithfulness. It's going to be the return. Now, I hate to tell you what I'm going to say next. There's a key. There's a key. I believe the key to receiving all that God has for us is we have to begin. I just invite you now, and I'm just inviting you to get on board with me. Come on and get on board with me now.
Amen.
Okay. I'm believing that we as a body of Christ, if we as Christians have to begin to let go of the offenses and judgments that we have made in our lives. Amen. We're going to have to turn them loose. Let me tell you why I believe that, because just a couple of weeks ago, I was praying, seeking the Lord. And I got to the place where I did not want to go in to 2017 as a 2016 Pastor B.
But I liked him.
But he's going to be better. I mean, I got to the place where I got with God. He and I had a meeting. And I got my, and I'm not exaggerating, I got my fist. And I opened up the palm of my hand. I said, God, I don't want to go into 2017, like I've been into 16. I don't want to carry that junk. I don't want to take that stuff with me. And I'm tired of it, Lord. Here I am, 66 years old, still dealing with junk. Amen?
Amen?
We all have wounds. We all have junk we got to deal with. We got to face up to it. But I got to the place where God didn't want it. I said, Lord, I don't want to take it into 2017. I don't want it, Lord. I don't want it, Lord. And then I heard God speak. Sit up straight. Sit up straight. Get ready for this. He says, if you do not want to take 2016 into 2017, he says, you have to stop blaming other people for the way you are.
Amen.
Now, come on. He says, if you don't deal with that blame, he says, I can pick you up and set you on the other side of the world. And within months, you will recreate 2016 and 2017 all over again. If we don't deal with our issues, folks, if we don't deal with our stuff, you'll go into 2017 and by June, you'll recreate it already, 2016. Because you fail to deal with the issues. And so that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about blame. Let me give you a definition of blame. Definition of blame is this. Is the transferring of responsibility for something that has gone wrong to someone else other than you owning up to it yourself.
Amen.
That's blame. How many marriages is it going to take? How many wives is it going to take? How many husbands is it going to take? How many new cars is it going to take? What is it going to take for you to stop and say, I may have an issue on the inside that I'm dealing with. Well, hey, Joe, you struggling a little bit? He said, yeah, I'm getting married again. I said, well, Again? He said, yeah, this will be my sixth wife. I said, have you ever thought about maybe the problem is not with the wife, that it could possibly be with you, but all I ever hear from you is that you're blaming the wives that you've been married for. Or the wives, all I hear you say is the men that you've been blaming for the way your life has turned out. I'll even take it a next step. There are some people in here that actually blame God for things that happen, circumstances that happen in their life. And I can tell you right now, God is not involved in kill, steal, and destroy. God is involved in giving life and life more abundantly. That's the God we serve. That's the God we serve. And we have to understand that what keeps us in the ditch is when we blame somebody for something that you've done. I can remember when I was a young boy, 2 or 3 years ago. And I could believe when I was a young boy, I'm assuming I was about probably 6 years old, 7 years old. My dad was a military guy, you know, and went to service, and he could just about do anything. He's very, very sharp in doing stuff. And I was always wanting to please my dad. And isn't that the way we all are? We want to please our dad, guys, you know? And so Dad was working on something one day, and he said, BH, go get a 7/8 wrench out in the garage. I'm thinking, 7/8 wrench? What the heck is that? But being an obedient son that I was, I went into the garage, stayed probably 15, 20 minutes, looking for a 7/8 wrench, so and I couldn't find what he was looking for, so I just grabbed one. I came back to him, and I said, here you go, Dad. He looks at that wrench and says, that's not a 7/8 wrench. Everything you touch turns to poop. Now, my dad said that to me, who I looked up to, who I loved. Now, I'm not, well, yeah, I was. We try to be the best we are as dads. You know what I'm saying? We make mistakes sometimes. I love my dad. He's going to be with Jesus now, but I love him. But back there, for my dad to say that to me at that age, made a big hole on the inside of me. And then it wasn't long after that when I was about in the second and third grade, and he brought me into my bedroom, where my bedroom was, and he sat me on the end of the bed, and he looked at me and said, BH, where did I go wrong with you? And so again, it was another blow by Dad for that point. Now, that was back, I don't know, 56, 57, that happened. And I have been holding that blame all of my life. All of my life. It has had some kind of effect on me. All my life I've tried to live up to the standard of my dad, and he's been dead for years. All my life I've been doing that. I never measured up as a man. I excelled in sports. I did a lot of things. I went to school on a scholarship. But nothing I could do would make me feel like I could measure up as a man. And that's when God spoke to me and said, this the reason why is because you've been blaming your dad forever. And you need to deal with it. Say amen if you understand.
Amen.
And so after that, through my life, my whole life, things would touch that wound. Things would touch it. Just the other day, my wife and I were at the house. And I love my wife. She is a spirit woman. She's a great woman. And something was said, and she turned at me and said, well, honey, you didn't know that? Well, she didn't say it wrong. It was very pure, very innocent light, but it made me feel what? Less than. It made me feel no part of that. She wasn't the guilty party, but it made me feel less than. And so I did. I went to her. I said, baby, you got a few minutes. I need to talk to you. I said, I want to tell you what happened just a while ago. I said, whenever I you said that we were had the conversation, and you said, well, you didn't know that? I took what you said, and that what you said touched that wound on the inside of me of not measuring up. And I took that thing in 5 minutes from A to Z and already had built a case against you. Hear me, church. Wasn't her fault. I had a wound. And to cover that wound up, I would blame whoever was near to me. I would cover it up. And she said, baby, let's pray. Boy, it's great to have a wife that prays. She said, let's pray. And she laid her hands on me. And she started praying, Father, in the name of Jesus, I bring my husband before the throne room of grace. And I ask that you release healing into that wound. Healing into that wound. In Jesus' name, amen. Instead of riling her up, instead of trying to protect herself, instead of trying to blame me, she loved me. She loved me. And she prayed for me that I would be set free and that I would move on with God in 2017 and break that doggone blame curse over me and become a new man for the rest of my life. And listen, it's important. It's important. The Lord told me this. If you will bring that wound, because the Bible says he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities, and by his stripes, I'm healed. Amen. He said, I was wounded. Let me hear you say wounded.
Wounded.
He was wounded. Let me hear you say wounded.
Wounded.
He was wounded for my wounds. He was wounded for my wounds. He was bruised for my iniquities, and by his stripes, I am healed. He said, if you will bring that to the table, I'll heal you. I'll heal that womb in your life. What table are you talking about, Lord? I'm talking about the communion table. If you will just simply take communion and release your faith in communion, then my spirit will begin to move on the inside of you and begin to restore you emotionally like it has never been there from day one. He said, I won't put a patch on it. I won't cover it up. He said, I'll heal it as though it's never been there from the get-go in your life. I'll heal it and make you whole where you'll never have to deal with that blame mess in your life again in 2017.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody say amen. Everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, is that not great in this world? So as the guest services come, I want you to, this is what I want you to do. Well, Pastor B, I don't know if I blame people. Come on. Who are you kidding? Huh? Who are you kidding? But what I want you to do at this time is to ask God, if you don't know what it is, ask God, as we get ready, to show you what that wound is. It's the wound that we're after. The blame will just take care of itself. Amen?
Amen.
If the wound is healed, the blame will just take care of itself. Amen?
Amen?
So as we're getting ready to take communion, go ahead, y'all start serving. I want you to ask the Lord, Father, I've been blaming. I blame my first and second, third and fourth husband for the way I've turned out. I blame the first, second, third wife for the way I've turned out. I blame my father for the way I've turned down. I've blamed my mother for the way I've turned down. I blame my football coach for not making the team. I blame my baseball coach for not making the team. I blame my cheerleader coach for because I didn't make the cheerleading squad. What is that wound on the inside of you that's alive that causes you to keep blaming somebody for what you need to own? You need to own it, church. You need to embrace it, own it, mind, repent of it, and the power of God will set you free this day. You will not leave this church the same person you were when you came in here. Amen? I said amen. Okay, so I'm excited. I'm excited because I'm going to get to confess it before the Lord. I'm going to get to confess it, expose it, and let God heal it in my own personal life. 2017 can be the greatest year that you've been alive. Hear me. Hear me. It can be the greatest year you have ever experienced. Or it can be 2016 all over again. What do you want? Do you want it to be 2017 to be the greatest year you ever have? Or do you want to relive that stinking 2016? Come on, I don't care if you say no. Tell me no, I don't want that 2016 again. No. So we go do that. We go do that. We go come to the table like God said. And just bow your heads if you would. Take the next 30 seconds, 60 seconds, and ask God, God, what is it? What is the wound in my life? What is the brokenness in my life? What is the stuff in my life that I need to release, that I need healing for, that I can go into this year, the rest of this year, and be a new man, be a new woman, and be able to take on what you have for me this year? What is that wound? What does it look like? Just ponder it. Again, the Bible says, like I reiterate it now, reiterate. Just keep your heads bowed and ask the Lord. He'll reveal it to you. Don't try to hide anything. Don't try to do the thinking. It's going to come in your spirit. It's going to come in your spirit, not your head. It'll be revealed to you in your understanding. But that, you got to understand that. God wants you free from it. God wants you free from it. Now, the Bible says where two or three people are gathered in my name, like I said earlier, where two or three are gathered in my name, there, what? I am in the midst of them. Well, what do you think he's in the midst of us for? Just to kind of enjoy the service with the rest of us? He's here in the midst of this service to fix what's broken in your life. He wants to fix what's broken in your life. He wants to heal that wound where you can be free from blame. So if you would, take that bread, the element, the bread. Take it up. And I want you to break it. And as you break it, take it and eat of it. Okay, now close your eyes. I don't want you to be disconnected from what's happening here. You're eating of his body that was bruised for your iniquities, that was wounded for you. Keep your eyes closed. Just chew on that body, on that bread. And the Holy Spirit, would you just begin to move? Ah, move by your Spirit. Begin to touch people. Begin to touch that wound. Begin to touch that wound throughout the congregation here. Just begin to release your healing power. Now take the juice. Said that my blood was shed for you. It eradicated sin in your life and mine. So take that. Now once we do this, once we've already taken up the bread, his body was broken and his blood was shed. Once we do that, allow the Spirit of God just to begin to move on you. Just begin to move on you. Take and drink of it. Don't get unfocused. Stay focused. Now I want you to pray with me. Say, Father God. And I want everybody to pray with me, not just a few. I want everybody. I want, and God wants every one of you fixed going into 2017. Say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I expose my wound. I expose it. I invite your healing power to come to fill the place where the womb once existed. I decree in Jesus' name that I am healed, that I am made whole. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, there may be some of you in here that may not even have a relationship with Jesus. You don't want to battle 2017 the same way you were in 2016. You don't want to do that. And you've always thought religion was just, you didn't want no part of it, but I'm telling you, it's the greatest lifestyle you can ever live. It's a God lifestyle. Watches over you, knows everything about you, protects you. The Bible said He goes before you to prepare your way, and that His glory is His real reward. He said, there's 1,000 that may fall to your left and 10,000 to your right, but no harm will come nigh your dwelling. That's what you need in this life. That's what you need in this world. So would you pray with me? Say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I am a sinner. But I want to be a saint. So I ask you right now, Lord God, to forgive me of my sins and come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and my God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Give the Lord a hand. Yes, shout unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Say, I'm free. I'm free. Come on, everybody say, I'm free. I'm free. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. Hallelujah. Some good ball games went on yesterday. And I shouted sometime and I cried sometime. But I tell you what, it nowhere touches what just happened to the lives of these people. You will never be the same again. I am so glad that I'm not taking the 2016 BH Raider into 2017. I am so glad, and I'm so glad the same kind of change that's happened in me has happened in you. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful 2017. We'll see you next weekend. God bless you. Go tell the story.